With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Nothing I can do or say can truly motivate you to do something. You have to take action. It's like the action of, you know, getting up and just doing your exercise. That's what's going to motivate you. That's what's going to give you the sense of achievement and keep you on track. So people are constantly asking me, you know, what can I do to do differently? But ultimately, you have to just get up and just take action and just do.
Welcome to the Doctor's Kitchen podcast. Today, I'm doing a slightly different episode with none other than Joe Wicks, the body coach, who I'm sure a lot of you are aware of. He's sold over 3 million books. His highly engaging, motivating videos are an absolute smash on Instagram and all other social media platforms. He sold 3 million books across the world, one of which is his latest Veggie Lean and 15, which is 100 delicious vegetarian recipes with some plant-based recipes in as well. And talking about books, my new book, Eat to Beat Illness, is out now. I talk about the nutritional science and the lifestyle practices that improve so many different aspects of our well-being, our brain, our skin, our immunity. Also, check out the newsletter for thedoctorskitchen.com. You can sign up at the website. There's loads of fascinating information that I'm trying to pump out every 2 weeks. No spam, just pure nutritional and lifestyle goodness. I actually came across Joe's work through one of my patients, and we get into that story. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different in that we're going to be talking about motivation. How do you keep motivated when you're trying to lead the healthiest lifestyle? Joe, someone who's sold thousands of his plans and has got an engaged social media following, is the perfect person to ask about how to maintain motivation and how to create behavioral change, which is something that is very, very hard to do. We're going to talk about how to get over the hump when you're not motivated to work out. We're also going to talk about routine and how to keep yourself onto a healthier lifestyle. We also talk about Joe's humble beginnings and parts of his life story that I don't think a lot of people have come across before. So I know you're going to find this absolutely fascinating. Let's get to it. Joe, welcome to the pod, mate.
Thanks for having me on the show, dude.
No worries. It's been we've been talking about doing this for a while, haven't we? Like, you know, just getting us in the studio and just talking about, you know, what has motivated you, how you've got to your current status at the moment.
Yeah, man, and we're always on the other sides of the world, aren't we? So it's nice that we're both in London at the same time. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having a chat with you and discussing things.
The first time I came across some of your work, right, was from, I don't know if I've told you the story, it was a patient of mine who came in to clinic. I hadn't seen him for about 3-4 months or so, and he'd lost so much weight. And I remember thinking, he came in, he was like, you know, I feel great. We were actually talking about his hypertensive medications, so we were actually able to reduce some of them. And I remember asking him, I was like, mate, how on, obviously I didn't say mate, how on earth have you been able to lose so much weight? Like, we were talking about different ways in which you can exercise better, eat better food, and I remember talking to him about diet quite a bit. But he said, I've been watching this guy, I found him on Instagram, and I watched some of his videos, and I've done his plan, and I've lost this tons of weight, and I've got all this sort of like bounding amounts of energy. And he said, oh yeah, it was some guy called The Body Coach. And that was the first time, a few years ago, that was the first time I'd come across you. And so I duly looked you up, and I was like, wow, out. You're doing so much. You've got so much energy. And yeah, you actually really inspired me at that time as well. So,
oh, that's great to know. Yeah, and it's so nice when you hear these stories of people, you know, who are basically taking themselves from a really unhealthy, unhappy kind of, you know, low mood, low quality of life to turning it around. And you can in 90 days, like, you know, my 90 day plan has really helped, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, because it's just simple, that simple message of, you know, short, quick home workouts at home. Quick, simple food, and if you enjoy your food and you're not depriving yourself, we always talk about these low calorie diets and meal replacements and these solutions that people go for, and they're not sustainable. So I think my message from the start has been like, look, if you love your food, all you need to do is exercise regularly, cook some simple healthy home cooked food, and you can allow the odd treat now and again, and not be depriving yourself. So, well, I'm glad you we came into contact and we obviously connected, and I remember your videos in the early days. You used to have the little chalkboard, didn't we?
Yeah.
The little fruit and veg laid out, and what I loved about your content was I actually learned something about the properties of foods, because I don't really understand. I'm not that clued up on it, but you talk about the actual, you know, the ins and outs and what these things would do from a health perspective. So really interesting content, man, and I'm glad we met.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember thinking to myself, because as a general practitioner, anyone who's listening to this who is in healthcare will understand and resonate that behavior change is super difficult. Like, I can sit in front of someone and try and convince them to stop smoking. The likelihood of them actually doing that is very low. So finding a formula, as you have with 90 day plans or with engaging, motivating content, is actually very difficult. So that's something that you should be really proud of, mate, because it's super hard to do.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it is really difficult, and people slip into their old ways. It's really weird. I met a cab driver this morning. I jumped in the back of a black cab on the way from the station, and he could hear my voice but he couldn't see my face. He goes, "You sound like, are you that Joe Wicks guy?" He's like, "Mate, I've been doing your workouts." He goes, "I lost 20 stone. He goes, "I've lost 6 stone in 7 months doing your workouts." And I love that. I love that I've connected with, you know, your mums and students and fitness bunnies, but also someone like that who's a cab driver who just like saw me on Instagram or something, or saw me on TV, and he's gone out and done my YouTube workouts, you know, and he's completely turned his life around. So it is powerful stuff. But I always get asked, you know, how do I get motivation? And it's one of those things, like, nothing I can do or say can truly motivate you to do something. You have to take action. It's like the action of, you know, getting up and just doing your exercise. That's what's going to motivate you. That's what's going to give you the sense of achievement and keep you on track. So people are constantly asking me, you know, what can I do to do differently? But ultimately, you have to just get up and just take action and just do, and just do a little bit of something. Even if it's 10 minutes a day, it'll be a catalyst to do a bit more, to make better food choices, and that's the start. I think you have to just wake up with intent and action to get going.
How has that changed you? Like, that's pretty nuts. For a lot of people listening to this, they'll be like, you jumped into a cab and there's someone whose life you've impacted in a huge way, and will probably, that impact will last with them for the rest of their life. How does that change you? What is that like?
It's just, I was with Nicky, my brother, and it's just, yeah, like, we were just both, I just love that. I love that I've got a geezer who, he basically said he loves beer. He's a big drinker. And he said, one day I woke up when I was 20 stone and I just wanted to do something. And I got your YouTube workouts and I brought your DVD, and he's been doing it. And he said he lives in a flat and the neighbours were going, what are you doing up there? You got a girl up there or something? And he goes, no, I live in mine. I've been doing the body coach HIIT workouts. He's running up and down and doing burpees. But it is, it's very motivating, you know, and it's, of any achievements I've got, whether it's like, you know, whatever, Guinness World Records or selling a certain amount of books, it is all nice. But when I meet someone like that on the street, like, that is truly, like, inspiring. I love it, and it motivates me. I think, keep doing it, Joe. Like, you're going to reach more people, and you will benefit people like this who may have never have thought about exercise. So it's very motivating and very, like, inspiring for me to just keep meeting people. And, like, when I do my book tours, I find it's tiring, but also it energises me again, because I think I realise why I put so much effort online, because it's really actually helping people in the real world. So, yeah, you know, meeting people is always a lovely thing, and I never get bored of hearing stories like that.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, like, a lot of people will see the facade of you being energetic and motivating on Instagram and videos and stuff, and they'll see this sort of, like, bubbly character, but I want to know a bit more about how you started. What was your childhood like? What were the beginnings of Joe Wicks, not just the body coach?
Yeah, so as a child, I was definitely...
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a place called Epsom in Surrey.
Yeah.
Everyone always thinks I'm from Essex. They were like, Joe Wicks, the body coach from Essex, but I'm definitely from Epsom in Surrey, a little town in Epsom, in Surrey. And so I've got two brothers. I've got an older brother called Nicky and a little brother called George. And I effectively grew up with my mum. My dad kind of was in and out of rehab through, like, drug addiction from a very young age. So, you know, he was there, and I don't look back and think, oh, what a terrible childhood I had and what trauma I went through and I was abandoned, because I'm very much like proud of my past, and me and my dad now are like best friends, and he's clean today, so I don't look back with kind of resentment. I'm quite a positive person who just thinks, right, that's it, that's what my life is, and let's look forward. But I was class clown, but also very like hyperactive and quite distracted easily, so I'd always be doing one thing. One week I'd be doing roller skating, next week I'd be doing BMXing and football and karate, I was always very energetic, and so exercise and fitness and just movement, it's always been a big part of my life.
Do you still do karate?
No, I got to red belt or something, and I gave it up. But yeah, I didn't have a very attention span academically. I wasn't that focused, but really excelled in PE and sport and team games and cross country. And I don't know where that came from, but I just loved always running. I was always running somewhere and doing sport. So I've always found that side of things easy. But in terms of my nutrition as a child growing up, single mum, living in a council house, we didn't have access to great food. She couldn't cook either. So we would always just have loads of junk in the cupboards. It'd be wagon wheels and ice gems, and we'd have picnics for dinner, sandwiches and Sunny Delight. I must have run on 200, 300 grams of sugar a day. I was always drinking fizzy drinks and
stuff.
Do you
think that impacted your attention levels when you were at school, do you reckon?
Yeah, you don't realise at the time, but it's just, I wasn't educated on that. But there's no doubt. I would have a carton of Sunny Delight and bowl of Cocoa Pops for breakfast, and when you're a little kid and you get to school, can you imagine how hard it's to focus? And that's very normal for a lot of people. So I've come on this massive journey into nutrition, and I've now influenced my friends and family, and my mum's cooking more, and so it's been a crazy journey to where I've got to. But ultimately I always knew I'd do something in fitness or kind of sport, and I originally set out to become a personal trainer. Sorry, to become a school teacher.
Oh, really? A school teacher?
When I was about 12, St Mary's University in Twickenham did a little campaign where they reached out to different schools, and certain children were taken to have a little kind of introduction day and hang out at the university. And I thought I was chosen because I was one of the good kids, but I was actually chosen because I was one of the naughty kids. So they were we need to take this kid on another path, and it was amazing. I went there, and I decided that day, I must have been about 12 or 13, that I was going to go to this university and I was going to become a PE teacher. And it was exactly what I'd done. I went travelling for a year, finished
my... from a 12-year-old, from age 12, you're like, that's what I'm going to do?
Because what I really got on with my PE teacher, and I thought, this is a cool, he's a cool dude, and I love PE. And so I kind of made a decision that I was going to go to university, I was going to do a degree in sports science and become a PE teacher. And I went travelling for a year. When I came back, I'd done my degree at St Mary's. And I thought, I better try and do a bit of a teaching assisting, just to kind of see how I get on before I make the leap to doing the graduation programme to become a graduate training programme, it's called, where you become a teacher. Yeah. And I did it for about 6 months, and I just realised I wasn't cut out for it. It's a really tough job. Teachers, they're under pressure. There's a lot of pressure on them to get kids to perform. And I just thought, I don't think I could do this for the rest of my life. So I thought, what else can I do with my passion? And that was exercise and fitness. So I then done a quick kind of 6-week personal training qualification, and then set up my boot camp, and then here I am. So there's the body coach. Yeah.
So how many years did you spend at college doing your personal training?
The personal training thing was literally a 6-week...
That was just 6 weeks.
My degree,
right.
I did a sports science degree for 3 years.
Yep.
Then I went travelling for a year. Then when I came back, I either had to do a teaching degree or a graduate training programme. But I just wasn't ready for it. I just wasn't ready to be a teacher.
What was university like those 3 years? Were you still the class clown? Were you still hyperactive or...?
No, as soon as I left high school, I went to college. So I did a GMVQ. So I was more coursework and practical based, because I just couldn't sit and do exams.
Yeah.
And I just kind of matured really quickly. I thought, I'm not just going to be silly, and I kind of realised that I like doing this, and this is what I'm good at. So let's just put some effort into it. Mm. Did my 3 years at uni, and I didn't really do the whole uni lad life and getting boozy. And I lived with my dad, and I just used to commute from Surbiton to Twickenham.
So this is the point in your life where you and your dad had sort of reconciled, or you'd see more of him in your...
Yeah, so by this point, actually, I was living with my dad. So I was about 19, 20. I was living with my dad for uni, and had a girlfriend. So I wasn't out partying and doing the whole student SU nights and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kind of got on with it. I got a 2-1, I got my degree. But then I was really... I went through, I call it the quarter life crisis. When I hit 25...
Yeah.
I spent my whole year basically playing Call of Duty and like FIFA online and just not, because I couldn't handle the fact that, well, I didn't have a I couldn't actually be a teacher. I had no other qualifications. Like, being a sports scientist, like, what can you really do? And I was just like burying my head in the sand because I didn't really want to accept that I couldn't do much, and I felt a bit useless. So I basically ran away. I got my bike and I flew to Canada with my rucksack and my push bike, and I cycled down the west coast to Mexico. So I spent 2,000 miles on my bike with a friend
really?
Of mine. Yeah, me and my mate Ted.
No way.
I cycled.
Which part of Canada?
I flew to Toronto, and then to Vancouver, uh-huh. and then I cycled all the way down the west coast, right the way down California,
yeah.
all the way we crossed the border to Tijuana.
So have you always been into cycling? Then? Is that one of your passions, or was that something?
No, I just wanted to like run away, and I thought, how do we do it? Well, I ain't got enough money to get a bus, so let's get a car, let's get a bike. And it was more of an adventure, but yeah, I always had this sense of like, if I ever had a rough time and felt down and a bit lost, just go travelling, because you're better, you're happy in Thailand, you're happy in Australia, you're happy on the beach somewhere, so... I had that feeling of like running away, and I'm much more content now and happy in what I'm doing. But
where did you get that sort of travel bug from? Because had you been travelling when you were like a teenager or like at school? Or
yeah, when I finished uni, I went travelling for a year. So I went to Australia and New Zealand and and Thailand and stuff, because I just felt like it was my right passion. Like, we've all got to do a bit of travelling, and I'm glad I did. But yeah, my whole, all through university, I'd take my student loan, and rather than go and get boozy down the SU, I used to go travelling a bit. So every summer I'd go to like Thailand or Vietnam and do a little trip. So
that's actually, that resonates quite well with me actually, because every year we'd usually have like 2 months in between years at medical school, and I would always go away. So in my 2 month break, I've been to Thailand, I went to South Africa at one point, sorry, not South Africa, Tanzania, and I did South America as well. I think those sorts of experiences of what it's like abroad really does like heighten your awareness of what the cultures are like around the world, and that kind of has inspired me to do like meals and stuff from around the world in terms of cuisine.
Yeah, I mean, I love travel. I'm at my happiest when I'm exploring somewhere new. Like, I just love going to a new place and trying new food and just visiting like new cities and stuff. So it's a big part of my life still.
Yeah. So you grabbed your bike and your mate Ted, and you went to Toronto. I mean, that takes a lot of confidence. A lot of people don't have that sort of like, that sort of thought process behind, you know, just leaving everything and going traveling.
Yeah, it took us 6 weeks. We had a tent each, and we had like a rucksack, you know, bikes with like panniers, so bags hanging off the side of it, and we just basically headed south. And we always knew if the ocean was on our right, we were heading south, and we were going to reach California eventually. And we would sleep like in parks, on benches, on trampolines. Like, we used to sleep under the lifeguard huts on Malibu Beach. Like, we had no money. We used to live off like $10-$15 a day, so we were skint. Yeah, we just eat Subway and like get fast food and just like crack on, and just some days you do 50 miles and stop, and some days you do 100 miles depending on how we felt. But it's a really great trip. It's like my last kind of big trip before I got into kind of my career and became the body coach.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, just one more big trip.
Yeah.
And when I get back, I can focus on what I want to be. But I was very lost. I was a bit like, what am I going to do? Who am I? You know, and I had no idea. So that was my like way of just exploring a little bit while not facing reality for a few weeks.
Did you think that you figured out what those questions were whilst you were travelling? Or were you just in the moment, just enjoying the present, not really thinking about, I'm going to have to go home in a few weeks' time and then try and figure out my life?
If I had more money, I would have gone all the way down to the southern tip of South America.
Really?
I didn't want to stop. I would have gone straight down like Baja, California. I would have gone right down through South America. But I just, obviously just came home and faced up to it and, you know, got myself into personal training. But I'm glad, you know, the time was right.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people do hit that stage where they finish uni.
Yeah.
They may not love the subject they were in, and they may think, oh, I've got to go and do a career in that. And it's quite a difficult time. You're not too sure who you are when you're like 25. Now I'm like 33. I'm so much more confident in what I'm doing and more content. I'm not looking at other things thinking, oh, I should be doing that, or am I going to be good enough? And it comes of age, doesn't it? I think
that quarter life crisis is something very real. A lot of young people of today, particularly with social media, there's a lot of expectation on them. Everyone appears to be starting their own thing, being an entrepreneur. You know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on a lot of young people these days. I certainly had that when I was 24, but I can't imagine what it's like for 24-year-olds and 25-year-olds now.
it'll be worse now because all you see is the perfect life and everyone's doing better and they've got, you know, a nice house. And there's so much comparison going on, isn't there? Yeah, back when I was going travelling and all that, it was like you just had like MSN and Facebook. There was no Instagram stories and walls and people like, you know, curating their dream life. So, yeah, I reckon that now, you know, someone coming out of uni today is under more pressure to either go and work for a company or set up their own company. And there's a lot of... a lot of pressure. I never had that. That's the one thing, like, from my family, never had any expectations, just always loved, even though my dad was, you know, a drug addict and wasn't available, but he was always there emotionally, like, he was always supportive and loving, and same with my mum. So that's really sculpted me as an adult, I think. You know, I'd rather have love and support than have parents there that aren't really, like, that engaged or push them into a direction that I'm not that interested in.
Who inspired you in that first 24 years of your life before you set up the, you know, did your 6-week course and then set up the body coach?
I don't know really. I mean, I've always, if I'm going to do anything, I want to work hard at it. Like, even if it's, you know, working as a lifeguard or working in a sports shop when I was younger, I've turned up, I'm on time, I'm punctual, I get the job done. And I think I've become way more ambitious. Before, my only ambition was when I had the boot camps, I thought I'd just like to have, like, franchise the location, have like 10 boot camps. I never thought, let's like build an audience and get a book deal and go on TV. Like, I just never even a million years thought I'd ever have these things happen to me. I just thought I'd, you know, get a few boot camps, get a mortgage, like have a nice little place and a little family, and that would be it. I never imagined I was going to go on this mission and help all these people all over the world. It's definitely like the more you achieve, the more you can start to set bigger goals.
Do you think there's something about that work ethic of just wanting to work hard to set something up, to be happy? Are those sorts of things that have sort of come from your childhood at all, or is it just something that you've always felt the need to do?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not, you know, my mum's a social worker, my dad's a roofer. Like, there's no really successful people in my family or any entrepreneurial people. But me and my brother Nicky have become, you know, because we work together, we have become very ambitious together, and we have become very motivated, and we work really hard. But I don't know. It's just something. When it's one of these things, like, I didn't know I was even working when I started doing Instagram videos. It was just fun. I was just having a laugh, and it's like, because I loved it so much and people could see I was having so much fun, then it became a business. But it wasn't the other way around. It wasn't like, I'm going to just do this to make money and get audiences and, you know, get brand deals. It really came from a truly organic, authentic place. And probably now, because there's people seeing me and other trainers and see the success I've had, they're now thinking, well, I can do the same. I can get a book deal, and I can, if I just, you know, get followers and get likes and get comments and get brand deals. Whereas I was truly, truly authentic and organic from my intentions.
Yeah.
And that's how I've had the success I think I've had, you know?
Yeah. I think the intention, I think, is an important point, because, I mean, when I started the Doctor's Kitchen, I'd had the idea for like a number of years whilst I was training in general practice. And then when it wasn't until when I was in Australia that I was like, you know what, I'm just going to get behind a camera and just going to start talking about antioxidants and different foods and why they're healthy and what the clinical research was saying. And the intention, honestly, was just to inspire my group of patients, maybe 100 or 200 or so they can eat their way to health. I never in a million years thought 6 months after starting that, you know, I'd get a literary agent, HarperCollins would come knocking, and then like I'd have a book deal. That was definitely not something I was aiming
for. You can't see it, can you? But now people have seen, whether it's me or you know, Clean It and Alice or other people that have had book deals, it's like everyone just thinks that you can just get an audience and get brand deals and you know, everyone's going to consume everything you put out. But it does take a long time to build the trust and the kind of the community. So yeah, but you've done a great job of it. But like you said, you'd never imagine it, but now you're doing it. It's like, this is exactly what you want to be doing, and you're more passionate than ever and you're more ambitious, and you start, you know, how can you reach more audiences? You know, you use podcasts and Instagram and YouTube. So I think your mission, like me, you're mission led, you're purpose driven.
Yeah.
And because of that, people warm to you, people love what you do, and people follow you, and then they, you know, support your products when you release a book or something like that. So it does have to, I think people are so, they're so savvy, and they really tune into genuine intention and people that are passionate and love what they're doing.
One of I think the best piece of content that you've ever released, right, is something that I don't know if a lot of people have listened to or watched, but it was your lecture at your old university to the graduate students. And it was your story for, you know, what it was like being a 24, 25-year-old having just graduated and not knowing what to do, which I think a lot of people, even at later ages in their life as well, are probably going through. And you told this story about how you would start your boot camps And some people, you know, you do your boot camps on Saturday and you ride your bike there, you get all your kit, and then sometimes you don't have a few people, sometimes no one will turn up, but you'd still do it every single day. That motivation to continue to do things despite all the barriers and all the obstacles, how on earth did you muster that? Like, what was the drive behind that? Because I think a lot of people struggle to get out of bed in the mornings these days.
Yeah, I always think back to that. My brother used to ask me the same, like, how did you do it, and how did you used to just keep going back? And I don't know where it came from, but I just knew that if I just kept going, like, I just built, you know, it would build. And if no one turned up, just go flyer in, give out some flyers, get a little bit of business in the area, and people will hear about it and come back. And it was just, I just thought, I just don't want to give up. Like, I just think there's so many people that have ideas and great, you know, great things they want to start, but people say, oh, stay in your lane, you know, do what you're normally doing, you're good at, you know, keep doing what you're doing, why are you going to go ahead and try something new? And if you did that and listened, you'd never break the mold, you'd just stay in the same lane your whole life. So I just thought, I want to do this, I want to make this success, and I want to work for myself. I really didn't want to work in a gym or work for another, you know, another boot camp. I thought, I want to own my own boot camp and work on my own time. So that was just the start of my work ethic. I think that was probably the start of my ambition and work ethic. I thought, I'm not just going to give up and go and work for another trainer or work in another gym. I'm going to keep doing it. And I used to just keep going back until eventually it grew and it became like a decent business, you know?
Yeah, and then you started going into the plan sort of things? Or was that sort of always the goal to start doing plans, or did that just happen again, like, organically?
I was posting, so I was doing all my, I was like really busy as a PT. I was doing about 7 hours of boot camps a week and probably like 30 hours of PT, and I was literally like driving around between the houses because I didn't have a gym, so I'd do it in their garden or in their park and stuff. And then in the meantime, I started sharing stuff on Twitter, just posting some motivational stuff, a little bit of like fitness tips. When Instagram opened up the video, I had the idea for Lean in 15 videos, but there was loads of people doing like fitness content and video recipes. I just thought, how can I do it a little bit differently? So I started putting the recipes up, like breakfast, lunch and dinner. And when that grew and I had realised I had this big community, the questions were coming in like, I'm on this diet or that diet, and can I have some advice? So that was where the kind of idea for the 90-day plan was born. Mm. But again, that was literally like thinking, just a nice way to supplement your income. I can do a bit less PT. Yeah. And it just literally, almost within a few months, it switched to being my main thing. And then I passed on the boot camps and personal training.
Yeah.
And that's, we've now had 300,000 people have signed up since we launched it in like 2015.
That's incredible.
2014, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's a lot of people, yeah. So it's become, you know, a global business, which is really, really, we're really proud of. And the mission's the same, like, can we get someone today eating healthy and can we get someone exercising?
When did you start that mission? Because that's a really clear mission, that, like, can you get someone today to eat something healthy and exercise?
It was when I started the my Instagram account.
Really?
When I started posting the recipes, yeah, because you got to think, like, why, before I ever knew of any publishers or any book deals or anything, why would a man get his phone out and record the recipe and post it on Instagram? But so consistently too, like, breakfast, lunch and dinner, I would not do the same recipe every twice.
Yeah.
I would want to post everything. I would sit there and record it and post it straight away, and just because I just was obsessed with sharing content.
Yeah.
But I don't know really why I was doing it, other than I found it fun that someone was like copying my recipes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not one part of me that thought, this is marketing, like, this is content marketing, I'm building something and I can sell something to these people one day. Like, it just weren't on my radar.
Yeah.
I suppose, like you, I just thought, maybe I'll get a few more personal training clients, maybe I'll get busier boot camps, maybe I'll, you know, encourage some friends. But it was never like, let's talk to people in Australia and the US and all over the world about healthy cooking. It was just a much smaller idea, but grew. And as I realised people were enjoying it and the content was making people laugh and I was getting good engagement, then I thought, right, do more of that, do a little bit more of this.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to think whether it's something about your childhood, like, and sorry to sort of dissect it and from a psychological level, but, you know, being the class clown, like you said, when you were younger, liking that attention, liking making people laugh, liking people feel better about themselves. Maybe some of that came into your social media stories and the Lean in 15 videos, because at one point I remember you saying that you would get a lot of slack from random people just saying, what are you doing this? I don't like your hair, it's all floppy, you know, all this kind of stuff, like, I like your voice. But despite that, you know, the effort and the encouragement and the enthusiasm you gave yourself to carry on, you know, it takes a lot.
Yeah, and I don't, at the time, I just was like, this is what I love doing. I didn't really think too much about it. And yeah, I did get negative comments from people, you know, saying, what these videos are annoying, you're always on Twitter and Facebook, like, why don't you just get back to doing your boot camp? And, you know, like, that's close friends as well. But I thought, no, I'm not going to listen. And then people say, oh, God, this guy's so annoying, his voice is driving me mad. And I just thought, well, some people are enjoying it, not everyone's going to love you. You know, I do like it when people, you know, respond well to my content, but I also don't let negative comments affect me. I did in the early days. It used to really get to me. And,
really?
You know, the main criticism, you've probably seen, like, trainers and other people slagging me off. And the reason is because I don't believe that people should count calories. And I've stuck by that from day one. I just truly believe that if someone exercises regularly and they cook at home and they take away the complications from healthy food, then naturally you create a calorie deficit and, you burn fat. But I see it and it's there, and I know there's a bit of noise, but I just focus on what I'm doing, and I'm talking to millions of people about it, and there's a reason I've sold 3 million books, because my message is simple.
Yeah.
And it helps people, like, just get in the kitchen and cook. And I don't want to confuse them by saying you should count calories and track macros every day, because I've never counted calories.
Yeah, I think that, like, having that internal voice of, you know what, you've got a goal, you're just trying to help people live healthier, happier lives, using your videos, using your engaging content, and to drown out the negative noise around you, because that can be really, it can be debilitating for a lot of people. They'll listen to that. It's almost like their little internal voice, like, you're going to fail, this isn't the right thing to do, maybe you should just do, you know, whatever else is doing, stick to the herd.
Yeah, I used to find it really upsetting. Like, it used to really affect me. And I used to think, oh, everyone's going to see it, and everyone's going to think, you know, I'm because people say call me a sellout and say that I'm hiding facts from people and stuff, but I've really, really helped so many people get in the kitchen and cook and exercise, and I give out so much free content, and I believe in my message, and I really do, and I'm never going to start putting the calories in my book. So, you know, as long as I can believe that what I'm doing is right and I'm helping people, then it's fine, and I can, you know, carry on with it.
Selling 3 million books, something that a lot of genuine celebrities would be envious of, and, you know, the plans and how recognisable you are, even taxi drivers, for example, like this morning. You know, has that changed you, that kind of celebrity? I know you don't like to call yourself a celebrity or regard yourself a celebrity, but the actual fact is, you know, you're very recognisable now, whatever the definition of celebrity is. How has that changed you at all?
I don't feel like a celebrity. I never have done. And I'm not like someone who's like rolling out of nightclubs and going partying and, you know, living like a celebrity and having it large all the time. But I really don't. I really don't think it has. I think if you met me 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we'd be the same. We'd be having the same conversation. Like, I'd be saying, I'm really, really, you know, on a mission to do this and that. And it's allowed me to have more freedoms, and not just financial freedoms, but also time. Like, I can spend every day with Indy if I want, and Rosie. Yeah. I can be present, and that's my greatest. That's what I'm so proud about and so grateful, that I don't have to be in an office or be somewhere every day at the same time. My days are quite different, and I can take Indy and Rosie with me. So that is my greatest achievement, that I can just, like, design my lifestyle, and I can obviously go to America for a few months a year. But it hasn't changed me. I'm more generous than I used to be, because now I can look after my friends and family, and, you know, we can go to nice restaurants and things. But I'm not someone who's... I'm not, like, buying flash cars and spunking loads of money on expensive clothes. It's just not who I am. Do you know what I mean? So I think you can let the numbers, like, inflate your ego and change the way you are, but... or you can just be Karen as you are and be normal. But I think the minute you let the followers and the fame and the likes and all that and the TV appearances get to you, then it's very easy for people to just switch off and go, oh God, like, he's changed, I don't like him anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just keep humble and try and just be myself, really. And that's, so yeah, I don't think I've changed much.
Has Indy, Rosie and your family, has that changed what motivates you when you get up out of bed in the mornings these days?
Yeah, I'm definitely finding it, like, more motivational. Now I've got, you know, Nikki, and I've got nephews, and I've got, you know, there's loads of kids around. I want to support them and look after them, because when you see someone you love, you know, working really hard, and it's, you know, life's difficult. Like, we all work so hard, and some people, you know, get paid well for their job, some people don't. So I want to be in a position where I can take care of my family and just, you know, help them with their lifestyle as well.
Yeah. There was a bit in your talk, actually, where you were talking about burnout. You know, you were cycling every single day, and sometimes people won't be turning up to the boot camps and stuff. How do you know that you're about to approach burnout, and what do you do when you think that you are burning out?
I think it's it's something that can affect you and you don't even realise it's coming. You know, like if you're having a really busy time at work or you're going through some stress, I use exercise as a tool. Like, I'm not someone who sits and meditates and can really slow my mind down, but when I use exercise as a tool and nutrition to make me feel good and productive and energised. So if things are getting difficult, I'm quite good now at just sort of stepping back and putting my phone down for a few hours and thinking, like, what's the work? Let's just say I release a new product or something goes wrong, or, you know, something you think's not been a success. I think, well, what's really going to happen? Like, just slow down and actually think about, you're going to be fine. Everything's been fine, and tomorrow you'll be fine. You'll learn from it. And I don't really let stress and anxiety get to me, because it's crippling, isn't it? When you feel it, you feel like so much is on your plate at once. It can be really debilitating. So I'm good at kind of using exercise as a tool, stepping away and just having a little breather. And yeah, refocusing, and also having a down period. So I don't work 365 days a year. Like, I do have a month off here and there where I can just switch off, chill out a little bit, and then I re-energise myself to come back to work.
Yeah, I've got into the habit of not looking at my phone on Sundays, for sure, because I'm the first person to admit I am addicted to my phone. I'm addicted to social media.
What's your screen time a day, do you know?
I think
mine's
it's
6 hours.
It's 6 hours? Oh, that's
6 hours.
That's way too much. That's way more than me. Yeah, mine's like 2 hours or so.
Only 2 hours?
Yeah, 2 hours, yeah.
So, yeah, but
that's because I've actually reduced it, and you know
that's
what?
That's amazing. That's the lowest I've ever
really?
Known.
Oh, yeah. No. Mine's about 2 hours, which I still think is a bit too high. If you think 2 hours of your waking day, if you're awake for over 12 hours, that's like, you know, a sixth of your day.
No, well, I'm doing half. I'm doing 50% of my day looking at a screen on my phone.
But I suppose that for a lot of people, I mean, that's your business, isn't it? And Instagram and social media is our business, so that's sort of the reason why it would be so high. But you know what? There's people out there who do not have businesses on social media, and they're just consuming the content.
Yeah.
And 6 hours of consumption of any content is way too much. And I know that's having a negative impact on particularly the younger generations, because there's a lot of comparison. Even for me, I'm the first person to admit, I will scroll through my feed and I'm like, oh, this person doing this, and oh, maybe I should be doing that, or, you know, you compare yourself even at a subconscious level.
Yeah, constantly, of course.
Does that happen to you?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I suppose it does. I follow a lot of other people and, you know, I get inspired by certain people. But yeah, you are. You're just, before it was like it would just be you and your friends and that was all you concerned yourself. Now it's like there's all these people that you follow with certain lifestyles, and yeah, you know, you think, what? How have they got that brand, or how have they got that house and that car, and how are they flying around, you know, the world? But you just have to just, honestly, it's so important just to focus on yourself, and, you know, it doesn't mean they're happy just because they've got, you know, private jets and they're flying around with expensive cars and stuff. But, and that doesn't truly motivate me anyway. I'm more about family and spending time with experiences and travelling with family than buying things and material things. I'm not really like a collector of stuff. I think it's just a bit like, it doesn't really do much for me.
There's two things I've got into over the last couple of years. One is minimalism, so buying less and actually enjoying more of products and things that actually give a lot of value. Like lack of materialism. I follow Gary Vee. I don't know, you probably heard of Gary Vee.
Yeah,
Vee
of course,
before.
Yeah. Does he's, do that?
I mean, he's pretty minimalist anyway, but, you know, he's very polarizing, though. You either love him or you hate him. I actually find his content really useful. He talks a lot about, you know, falling in love with the game, or falling in love with just, you know, your mission, essentially. And I think what resonates really well with yourself is, you know, we both have missions, and that's what gets us out of bed in the mornings. That's what drives us. If your goal is to have a bigger house, or to live in a certain area, or, you know, to have a nicer car, those things are pretty transient and they're not going to last. And you actually want to fall in love with doing something that has a much grander purpose, maybe. And I try and encourage this for myself. It's actually to make other people around you happier. As a byproduct, you will become happier yourself. But if you focus on making other people healthy and happy, then that's probably one of the best things you can try and aspire to.
Yeah, 100%. I'm a massive believer in that, and connectivity and community, and helping other people out and giving. That's what I mean. I feel like I do that with what I do. I help people, you know, exercise and eat and cook, and that makes them feel good. So that is my true call, and that is what I love doing and what I continue to do. But yeah, I mean, we focus on the wrong things, don't we? There's just so much noise and confusion and advertising and marketing, and we're just consuming everything. But sometimes you've got to stop and just be grateful for what you've got and appreciate where you are, and you're healthy, and you know, and focus on helping other people, I truly believe that's the key to true happiness, I think.
Definitely, yeah. That was actually the second thing I was going to say. First thing is minimalism, the second thing is gratitude, you know, being grateful for the smallest things in life.
Oh, I love your gratitude thing. You did the 100 days of gratitude. It went on forever, though. Do you still do it?
I still do it,
Last time I saw it was like 300 days or something.
It's like 700 now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gone over 700. Yeah.
My days.
It's really good.
700.
I don't really know when I'm going to stop. I mean, like, I do it as a force of habit now.
Keep going, mate.
I just do it, yeah. It's fun. And you know what? The thing that actually keeps me going, not just doing the exercise, because I would do that privately anyway, it's other people see that I'm grateful for even the smallest things on a daily basis, and they're like, that's really inspired me, I'm going to start doing that, and I've done it for like, you know, a couple of days now, I feel great. It's just a nice positive thing to end your day on, I find.
I'm definitely and I'd stop to do that with Rosie and Nikki, and just to say, like, you know, thank you for your time and being here, thanks for your, you know, the relationship we have and our friendship and the loyalty and the trust that we've got. You know, these things are so important because that's what relationships are formed on. So yeah, I'm doing that a lot more now. It's a really nice thing to actually say to someone, like, I really appreciate, you know, our friendship or the way you looked after me this year.
Yeah, you know, when you're starting your business from scratch, was it yourself and Nikki the whole way through, or was it?
No, he actually was working as a journalist. He was an editor of a magazine in Singapore, and I sort of headhunted. I said, I need you. I've got all these comments, and I've got so much going on for social media. I can't do it on my own. So he, like, originally just helped me with my social media, and he's just grown into this amazing, you know, business partner who helps me with all my content and strategy. So smart. So, but no, that happened kind of as a natural progression as our worlds collided, let's work together.
Oh, that's fab, because I think a lot of people when they're starting out, they need that support, they need someone to sort of bat ideas off or help them out and stuff. So that must have been pretty good to have someone to support you in that respect.
Yeah, and the fact that it's my brother, like, he just knows me so well, and you know, he knows the mission I'm on, and we make the things we turn down so much because we want to do, you know, meaningful partnerships. We want to do things we believe in. And I had a massive opportunity at a supermarket, like, to do, they wanted to do ready meals and, like, you know, microwave dinners, and they're dangling this carrot in front of me. I've been saying for 5 years how I believe people can cook.
Yeah,
it's things like that. It's making decisions like that, that having Nikki to guide me means I haven't just made the wrong decision and gone on, you know, impulse. I've thought things through, and so yeah, we only really do that really, really great long-term partnerships.
Yeah, so having a good, like, trusted network of people around you that you can bat ideas off and stuff, that must be pretty game-changing, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I put a call out via social media, right, and I told everyone that we were talking about motivation and stuff. So there's a whole bunch of questions that have come in about motivation, some of the things that we've already chatted about, but we'll just do a rapid sort of, like,
okay,
review of all the questions to end up with. Okay, fine. Late afternoon exhaustion around that 2-3 p.m. level, what do you do to keep yourself going? Because sometimes a lot of people find, I usually find when I'm in clinic actually at 3 p.m. I have a few things that I do, but at that point, that's when I hit my low. I'm like, oh, I just can't be asked to do anything. I'm definitely not going to do a workout when I get home later on that evening. So what do you do when you hit that level?
I think you have to look at firstly what you're eating, because if you're having a really low calorie day and you get to that point, you're going to be hungry and your energy is going to be low. But also, if you've had a really, you know, unhealthy lunch with an energy drink and a chocolate bar and, you know, loads of fizzy sweets and stuff, that's going to also bring your energy down. So you've got to be looking at your nutrition. And I even say to people, like, sometimes you get 8 hours sleep and you wake up feeling exhausted, and you need to be looking at the food you've been eating the day before, because it really does affect, you know, the way you feel. And so I'd recommend, yeah, firstly, like, making sure you're eating healthy food, and when you get to that point, you know, rather than relying on caffeine and fizzy drinks like most people do, get up and just have a little 10 minutes out of the chair, out of the office, whatever it is, get some fresh air, move about, and just get some blood flowing. I know it seems simple, but that is going to be far more energising. I'm lucky that at my office I've got a gym, so if the staff get tired, they can just go and do a quick workout, and it really does help. But not everyone's obviously got access to that. But getting up and just doing 10 minutes of walking, getting out, a bit of fresh air could definitely help.
Absolutely. I think definitely walking around, drinking water as well. I think hydration is super important. A lot of people don't realise that you're dehydrating, that can actually affect your cognition. So having a tall glass of water will certainly improve your sort of energy levels, and also forgiveness as well. Like, you know, if you don't have the energy, or you're feeling low, you've had a hard week and you're facing burnout, sometimes allowing yourself not to exercise, chill out for that day and just get back on it tomorrow morning is one of the best things you can advise.
Yeah, I definitely think people, rest is so important, and people underestimate the importance of sleep as well. And if you're someone who gets by on, like, you know, 4.5 hours sleep, like, it's just not enough. You need to really work on the quality of your sleep. It's so important.
What do you reckon about routine? A lot of people I find, I speak to in clinic and via social media, all say that they struggle with routine. How do you get into a routine? What, do you have any tips for that?
Well, I used to be terrible in the mornings, but I've realised that I've taught myself to become a better morning person. So I prefer to wake up, have a glass of water, do a workout before I eat breakfast, just to, you know, I just feel great afterwards. I'm much more productive and I'm focused. When I slip out of that routine, I'll find it hard because I'll miss breakfast. I might grab a croissant or a sandwich, and then like I'll get home and I'm tired and can't be bothered of it. So I do believe in the power of a morning workout. Mm. I think if you can try and make that routine. Now obviously I've got a baby, it's slightly different. Slightly different in terms of what time I train, but yeah, I'm a massive believer in the power of like getting up, getting it done and starting your day like that.
Definitely. I'm a big fan of morning workouts. In fact, I train first thing in the morning, so it's done, and even if it's only 20 or 30 minutes, that way you've done your workout for the day. You don't need to worry about having to do it after work or at other times. And it actually gives me a lot of energy. If I do it first thing in the morning, I know I'm just going to bash through clinic. I know I'm going to be energised for the rest of the day, and it really does work, and there's lots of evidence behind that as well.
Yeah, people assume that if they're tired that exercise is going to drain them and take even more energy, but I truly believe exercise gives you energy. You know, it does so much to the mind and body that, you know, just even if you did 10-15 minutes of high intensity exercise, yeah, the benefits are, I think, is transformative to like how much you get done in the day, and therefore how successful you become, your relationships with people you work with. It's all related to, like, you know, sleep, nutrition and exercise. They're all so interlinked. So you can't not have one. You know, you need all three of them to really optimize your life and be functioning at your best.
Absolutely, yeah. There was this paper that I read on mitochondrial biogenesis. So it's basically the production of mitochondria, which are the energy sort of powerhouses of your cells. And when you exercise, particularly if you do certain types of exercise like high intensity training, it increases the concentration of these sorts of the battery powerhouses. So that's why you can get those like post-exercise euphoric effects, like runner's high, or after you do a HIIT workout, you just feel super motivated.
Yeah, I love that. I love that feeling.
I'm addicted to that feeling.
Yeah, so good.
Keeping motivation during the winter months. I get this a lot, particularly right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm experiencing my own little motivational low. Like, I'm doing my exercise, but I'm not making the best food choices. I'm having, you know, because you walk past a bakery and you see, like, a nice, you know, chocolate brownie or, like, you know, a little pie or something. And, you know, you're craving these sort of wintry comfort foods, and it's fine, but you just got to keep up your exercise. I think if you start having all the extra calories and you just get really inactive and you're not doing a lot, then you, I know, you're going to gain extra body fat and you're going to feel a bit sluggish. But, again, it's just that thing of prep your meals, get your meals sorted so you've got food and you can rely on that, and you haven't got to get fast food and eat out all the time. And secondly, it's just keeping up the exercise. And like I said, if you're not someone who can face like walking out of the house, getting to the gym and doing all that, just do home workouts, because it can be so effective doing 20 minutes a day as opposed to like 1 hour a week and skipping workouts. So daily HIIT workouts at home is a good way to get going.
That's actually one of the questions that I had quite a few people ask, actually, is how you keep motivated and moving when you work and live at home. And I mean, I personally do home workouts most of the time now. I barely go to the gym, maybe like once or twice a week, because of that, like 20 minutes to get there, then you've got to wait for your machine, or you've got to wait for other things, you get back, and by the time you've gone back, it's like an hour and a half of your day. It's too much.
Yeah, and the thought of like going into your living room and exercising or doing it in your bedroom, it's really weird for some people. They just think, oh god, I need to go to a gym and I've got to be in this structured environment. But honestly, like, you can have a set of dumbbells, you can be doing, you know, squats and press ups and shoulder press and really, really good big moves that are going to get you burning loads of energy, and you can be putting them weights down and packing up in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and like you will transform your body. You really can. But people think you need more, you need a spin class, you need all these boot camps and expensive gym memberships. But ultimately, consistency is what really gets results. And if that means doing 100 squats a day and doing a few press-ups, like, that is going to get you results over I'm going to go do a spin class every Sunday. Do you know what I mean? Like, so try and make your office or your home your gym.
Yeah, it's good to note that, like, even you have low days when you can't keep your morale up and you can't be bothered, or you know you want a pie or a bun or whatever, because, you know, there are normal temptations. There are so many temptations out there, and sometimes you need to just be You just need to accept the fact that, yeah.
So what's happened, this is, I'll tell you what's exactly happened with me. I was in America, training loads, getting really lean, had a photo shoot when I got back and I was bang on it. Then somebody gave me a 5-litre tub of chocolate orange gelato. Honestly, he runs a restaurant. And within 7 days, yeah. I ate 5 litres of ice cream. Then my mate Ted gave me a chocolate bar from Venti, that Italian chocolate
shop.
Oh,
I think I saw that in your stories,
And I thought, what has he done? Because I'm really good. When it's not in the house, I can just not have sugar. I can just not go near it. But when it's in the house, I'm all or nothing. Like, I have a little bit and then I crack more off. And before you know it, within a week, I'd eaten that. So I'm like coming off the back of that. I just, it's out of the house. I'm back into my cooking. I'm doing my recipes. But yeah, when I'm just as weak as anyone else. When it's around me, when it's there, I'm just as tempted as anyone. So for me, it's like, don't have it in the cupboards. Have a little chocolate banana and treat yourself, but having like tubs of Ben and Jerry's and loads of packets of biscuits, because they're lovely things and they taste great. I'm so much better when I'm eating healthier. I just feel so much better inside, you know, and on the outside as well.
I think that's one tip actually to keep in mind of, if you keep it in the house, you keep it out of the house rather, you're less likely to be tempted by it. If you keep any of those things in your house, I know myself, like if I've got some chocolate or I've got some crisps, and usually it's my family that stock some of the cupboards at home, in our family home, and I will just go for it. I do not have an off switch. I'll just finish packs and packs of snacks.
Yeah, I used to have like a bit of yogurt and fruit for dessert now, but I'm craving chocolate and sweets and sugar every single day. Like, I want fruit pastels and chocolate bars. I just want anything sweet. And that, it just goes to show that once you're in the routine of it, you know, your body will, you do want it. It's not like you're addicted to it, but you just want it because it tastes good. And so I'm more about having your cupboards and fridge stocked up with healthy, like whole foods and no processed stuff, because if it's there, I'm on it, I'm all over it.
I think it's about understanding our evolutionary design as well, because we are geared to want salt and sugary snacks, and if we have that, then we're just going to go for it. And actually, you know, once you become aware of that, then you can actually make the conscious decision, you know what, no, I'm just going to stock my cupboard and fridge with all healthy items and then enjoy like some snacks when I'm outside the house or whenever I can.
Yeah, exactly. That's a much better way of looking at it.
Great. Mate, I think we've done it. It's quite a bit of content. There was quite a bit of chat about motivation, but thank you so much.
I've enjoyed it, mate. It's good. It's a hard thing to talk about, because you really want to motivate people without like sounding preachy and all saintly, but it's a very difficult thing to really communicate and get across. But it's just putting little steps into your day that are going to make your life easier. So having your lunch for work the next day and having it prepped in the fridge and having your workouts at home, these little steps are going to be a massive, you know, massive benefit and keep you on track, keep sustaining your results and getting you healthy.
I think that most people will find out from this is that, you know, we're not saints. There's this impression that you have to be 100% all day every week to achieve like a healthiest lifestyle, is actually you can enjoy the treats, you can enjoy a little slip here and now and then, but the most important thing is to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. If you enjoy your food and you can do regular exercise, you can get results. You haven't got to struggle and be on a, you know, low calorie diet or depriving yourself. You should enjoy the food you love, and then you're going to keep it up all year round.
I really hope you enjoyed that podcast with Joe. I found it absolutely fascinating, and his insight into his life was very candid. The things that I want you to take away from this podcast on motivation is routine. Actually getting yourself into a routine is one of the best ways in which you can maintain a healthy lifestyle. Planning your meals and planning what you're going to be doing over the next couple of days does help some people. I'm more of an intuitive cook personally, but I know that when you're trying to at least start a healthy lifestyle, planning your weeks in advance would be a good way to do that. Prioritizing sleep. This is the best way to maintain your energy levels during the day. So making sure that you're giving yourself enough rest will allow you to power through your workouts and maintain your focus on healthy eating. Mini bursts of exercise, even home workouts, are really, really encouraging. I find doing my workouts from home will mean that I'm actually more likely to be active rather than having to try and get myself to a gym and back. And that's time saving as well. Limit your social media. Unfortunately, when we continue to scroll down our feed, we actually create a negative self-image of ourselves. Concentrate on your personal goals rather than aspiring for others. Finally, the best piece of advice I can give you is to forgive yourself when you don't have the motivation to do the exercise, or you want to enjoy that cinnamon bun or have some unhealthy treat. The spiral of guilt can actually lead to worsening thoughts, and actually you want to enjoy that moment where you don't do a healthy activity and actually get back on track the next day. Forgive yourself when you can't be bothered to do your exercise, and actually the next day you'll feel much more motivated. You can find Joe at The Body Coach on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the different social media platforms. Get a copy of his new book, Veggie Leaving 15, which is full of vegetarian recipes that you can make in less than 15 minutes. And talking about books, my new book, Eat to Beat Illness, is out now. I talk about the nutritional science and the lifestyle practices that improve so many different aspects of our well-being, our brain, our skin, our immunity. You can catch me at thedoctorskitchen.com. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you like to listen to your podcast. They really do help people find the information. And I will see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.